This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio. Lonely Planet just got a little less lonely with Chris Zaya on Joy Drive.
Good afternoon, Chris Zaya.
I love to bounce around to that little sting.
You do bounce around.
It's that Sophie Ellis-Bextor song where I was like, oh, I love this.
It's such a good song, and Sophie Ellis-Bextor does it every time. But you walked into the studio today with a bit of a I've got breaking news.
Breaking news.
Is this breaking travel news?
It is, and it's actually quite a concerning or worrying travel trend that's emerging. I'm not only coming here and I'm all sweetness and light and joy and jazz hands and all that sort of stuff.
But I feel like we've all just sat up straight in our chairs.
Paying attention, please. So we have just heard from DFAT, which is the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, that they have just announced this morning that over 9,200 Australians, whilst they were travelling overseas, required assistance in the last financial year. They've also came up with some data that said there's been a call to the consulate every 11 minutes for people looking for assistance. And we'll go into what they were actually looking for whilst they were overseas. But that's coupled with a report that came out 24 hours ago from finder.com.au where they surveyed over 1,000 Australian travellers.
Mm-hmm.
And this was about travel insurance. And nearly 50% of the respondents have really skimped on their insurance. So the two things combined are actually really indicating there's a very worrying travel trend about how we're behaving overseas and the fact that we're not taking out insurance when we travel.
Why do you think we are doing this? Is it just it's post-COVID, we're just so excited, we're out there, we don't care anymore, we're travelling at all cost? Why are we doing this?
I think it's a combination of two or three things here. So I think you're right. I think that maybe we're questioning how we spend our money when we travel. Like, so, oh, do I really need that insurance? I'm sure that I don't need it. I think some of us are still a little, it may be our first trip overseas and post the pandemic. So again, I think we're maybe a little unmatch fit when it comes to traveling. And then there's just the cost of living pressures as well. So people are still valuing a holiday and valuing wanting to go overseas, but they're actually looking for ways to save money. And I don't think this is the right way to do it.
No, and I mean, travel, if you're spending thousands on a holiday.
Oh, tell me that up. I know where you're going, Warren.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, we're still sitting up straight. So you said 9,200 calls. What's going wrong?
Oh, no, it's like over 9,200 people people that required assistance.
That's right.
So that's nearly 10,000 people. That's a lot of Australians overseas. So let's have a look at what's going wrong.
Yep.
So first of all, there was a huge increase or a 23% increase in people requiring hospitalisation for illness. This one's a massive one, 168% increase in lost or stolen passports
that needed to be replaced.
Hand on heart, you know, thank the various gods out there that's not happened to me, because that is an absolute pain in the neck, the passport god. 23% increase in cases revolving around death.
Oh, my goodness.
And then this one really concerns me, a 54% increase in reported assaults whilst people are overseas. And then when you drill into it, I think the next big interesting thing is, where are people experiencing the trouble?
Before we get into where, let's think about it. 9,200 people needed help. I imagine there's only a certain amount of people in the Australian embassies that can help at a time. So therefore, if you lose your passport, I know if I lost my passport, I'd be panicking. You're going to have to wait.
Mm. Yeah, normally they're pretty good in some places, like it's a 24 to 48 hour turnaround in terms of temporary passport, but it's going to cost you. Like there's money attached to that. And what happens if you're in a country which actually doesn't have an Australian consulate?
Oh, yes.
So there are a lot of complications here. And I think they're the things that people don't necessarily think about when they're planning. But we'll get to that later on in terms of how do you safeguard yourself when you're traveling as well.
All right, let's find out where it's happening. I'm off to Thailand next year. Is that a safe one?
That's the number one destination for problems.
Thanks,
problems,
Chris.
Warren. Off your trot. But I'll keep you safe, buddy. I'll keep you
great.
Safe.
Okay, great.
It's fine.
Great.
So, yeah, they look, really popular destinations for Australians to travel to, which makes a lot of sense in terms of these top five. So it's Thailand, the Philippines, Indonesia. Basically, you can put in brackets there. It's Bali. The US and Vietnam are the top five where we've experienced problems, yeah.
I'm surprised about the US.
It's always problematic. The US. The US. There's a lot of issues with. We hear a lot of stories of people not having the right visa when they're actually arriving and getting into all sorts of trouble there. Look, the three big things I say here in terms of before you're heading out is A, you should take out travel insurance. It's just an essential and it should be part of your travel budgeting. I think number two is a lot of people don't do this, but you should have sufficient funds in your account when you're traveling overseas.
Oh, yeah.
Like you've got to make sure that you have emergency money in there, right? Like, because anything could go pear-shaped and you just need to make sure that, you know, you're not out of pocket too much.
That's right. And if you're using one of those international cards, transfer a decent amount in beforehand, because I have been stuck where I think I'll just put a little amount in so that, you know, it's safe and then I can transfer more as need. B, and then you don't have Wi-Fi access or something like that.
It just
the phone service goes down.
A tale as old as time. Right. And then the other big one I think is something that I tend not to do, and I need to check myself on this as well, is registering your travel on Smart Traveler. So now I think the good thing about this is if there is, heaven forbid, a natural disaster in a particular place, if you've registered your trip on Smart Traveler, the Australian government knows that you're there and will be looking for you. So they'll be proactively looking for you rather than friends or relatives having to get in contact with the embassy to say, oh, I think Chris is in Japan. I think Warren's in Chile. Like, you know, it's like that is a really, really strong way of doing things.
I'm going to get the Chris Sire from Lonely Planet elephant stamp because I always register with Smart Traveler.
Do you?
Always.
I'll come around the other side and give you a little stamp on your sleeve.
Just in terms of travel insurance, what about the travel insurance that you get when you buy your ticket on, say, your credit card?
I find the credit card one a little difficult because, again, with all travel insurance, I'm going to step back a little bit. You have to read the terms and conditions.
Okay.
So you have to read and understand what the policy is actually covering, because then you'll know, you know, what you're at risk in terms of if anything does go wrong, what financially you might be out of pocket on. A lot of those credit card travel insurances will only kick into gear once you have spent something on that trip. So that's a lot of the conditions of the actual insurance. I've heard some horror stories about them, and then I've heard some stories about people that have had no problems with them.
So read the terms and conditions.
I think it's all about the T's and C's.
And you could always take out an extra policy anyway, could you?
100%. Yeah. And you know, some of these ways to kind of bring your costs down are pretty simple. If you've got health insurance or if you've got an association with RACV, for instance, most of those places offer a 15 or 20% discount on your travel insurance as well. So go in via that methodology as well. My other big piece of advice here is get your insurance as soon as you start booking things. And if the pandemic taught us anything, before the pandemic was a known event, people could claim against their insurance. Mm-hmm. Once it was a known event, then people couldn't claim against their insurance.
Right.
So the sooner that you're doing your, you're getting your travel insurance locked away,
just book it.
The better that you're going to be. And my other big thing here, do not fudge your details. So if you think you're going to be driving in Germany on your European holiday, make sure that that is actually put down in your policy, even if you don't do it, because that way you're at least covered for it. So just be thinking really carefully about what you're actually purchasing.
What are some of the mistakes that we are doing when it does come to travel insurance?
Well, I think that the Finder survey was the thing that really, really concerned me. And the sample size was really big. So the sample size was over 1,000 Australians that had travelled had an experience with travel insurance. So 21% of these respondents took out the cheapest policy possible. 10% only insured part of their trip, which I thought was really bizarre.
Why would you
really
only insure
bizarre.
Part?
I don't quite understand why they've done that, but obviously to save money. 15% went without insurance at all, which is just super dangerous. And then the other one, which I think is just stupid, is 8% lied on their applications to bring their policies down. So that also means that your policy is basically null and void.
So you've wasted money.
You've wasted your cash in doing that. So I find, though, that behaviour, and that people have admitted to this in this survey, incredibly concerning. And also given that this DFAT information has just come out today, that the timing of the two reports really worries me in terms of a behaviour that Australians need to stop and need to stop it now. We need to think really sensibly. I mean, you think about if you get into an accident in the United States, how incredibly expensive their health system is over there. Yeah. You want to make sure that you are covered if you, you know, you know, heaven forbid you break a foot or something absolutely, you know, bad happens to you over
there. Why did you think of a foot then?
Because I've got a foot injury. And it's giving me the willies. I don't. It's really annoying.
We are joined in the studio by Chris Sire from Lonely Planet, who's got breaking news about some stats that have been released regarding travel and travel insurance. Chris, let's just reiterate, what do we need to know? Let's all pay attention and hear it from you.
Yeah, so the big thing that you need to know, so I'll go back to those three big points. So first of all, make sure that you take out travel insurance. Yep. And in taking out travel insurance, read the T's and C's and understand what policy you're taking out. Number two, always make sure you've got sufficient funds in your account before you travel. And number three is register with Smart Traveller. So Smart Traveller is where you will just talk about where you're going, and that way the government knows where you are if anything goes wrong in those destinations.
Okay, right. Okay, fantastic. Chris, you are going to fly out of here now?
I am going to fly.
Are you going to go by helicopter?
I can go by helicopter.
Just landing on the roof.
Oh, excellent. Quick, I'm needed in another interview. Stat, quick. I've got to go.
Chris, great to chat with you. Hopefully you'll bring us some good news next time, but it's important. It's good that we know we do need to get our travel insurance up to date.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think my last show of the year will be, we might do a super travel quiz and give away a whole heap of little Chrissy presents.
No, I want to talk about, you know, what goes wrong on holidays.
Oh, maybe there's another segment of holiday disaster stories.
Yeah, let's do another quiz. We love the quiz with you.
I know, that's right.
Chris, good to see you. What's your number one song that's coming up on your
My Spotify Unwrapped? I got a big shock on this.
Yeah?
It's Mimi Webb's Red Flags.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, I love it, but I didn't realise I loved it that much.
Well, you're going to hear it again. Here you go. Thank you, Chris.
I love it. Thanks, Warren.
Chris Sire from Lonely Planet. Catch you in a couple of weeks.
Bye.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.